Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So we're in the middle of our Easter series this morning, and we've been talking about going from death to life. And we've been talking about how one encounter with Jesus can change you forever. And last week, Pastor Bob gave an amazing, awesome word about how when we seek Jesus, we will find him. And when we are willing to let Jesus into every part of our lives, that he changes us. He doesn't change us a little bit. He changes us on a whole nother level, right? Today, the main text we're going to be reading from is found in John chapter 8. So if you brought your paper Bibles, I hope you brought your paper Bibles. Open them up to John chapter 8. John is the fourth book of the New Testament. So go ahead and find it. John chapter 8. Now, I want to start off by telling you something really interesting about these verses that we're going to talk about today. They were not found in the original Greek manuscripts. It's interesting. Biblical scholars actually have concluded that although they may not have been written by John, it's still widely believed to be authentic. The consensus has been that it was actually part of the original oral Jewish history, because that's how Jewish history was passed down in the very beginning. A lot of people couldn't read, and so history was passed down orally. And so they believe this part was left out on purpose. And the reason most likely is because the leaders of the early church, talking about the religious leaders, they felt like the story condoned adultery. Now, I find that interesting. This is a beautiful story of love and mercy, the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Yet it was left out of the original manuscripts because they thought it was just too scandalous. Well, Jesus is scandalous. He's scandalous. Think about it. He hung out with people that the religious society condemned. They didn't want anything to do with them. Women that, you know, ill repute, drunks, cussing sailors. Jesus was scandalous. So it's very telling that this story was left out of the original manuscripts, but I'm glad it made its way into the Bible. Because this story shows us how one encounter with Jesus and his mercy can take us from condemned to forgiven. Before I start, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every person here today, Lord. I pray that your word will just go out, go forth, and change us all. Father, I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs. I surrender it to you, Lord. I ask you to push me out of the way and have your way. Speak through me, Lord. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of your word, that we are all changed from the inside out forever. And Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your presence in your house. God, we just love you. We love you, we honor you, and we give you the glory that you deserve. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son. Amen. Amen. So are y'all there yet? John chapter 8. Okay, we're going to read it together starting in verse 2. And this is what it says. At dawn, he appeared, talking about Jesus, appeared to them in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Okay, we need to press pause here. Adultery, last time I checked, takes two people. And you know there was a man there somewhere. And you know he had to have been with her. Yet only the woman was dragged out in front of everybody, publicly humiliated and accused. Now, this is no surprise, y'all. And probably one of the reasons why this story was left out of the original manuscripts. Since the beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden, there has been an assault against women. It started in the Garden of Eden, and it has never stopped. This isn't a feminist perspective, y'all. This is the truth with a capital T, the Bible. This is God's truth. And this is why the church needs men to learn to be men. Godly protectors, defenders of women. We need y'all to rise up. Not abusers, not manipulators, not exploiters. Men, Jesus set the bar really high for how to treat the women in your life. Not just your spouse or your girlfriend, the women that you come across day to day. And Jesus was not manipulative. He didn't use his authority to get anybody to go along with his plan. He didn't go around telling women, I'm the man. You must submit to me. No, Jesus invites. He invites. He doesn't force himself on anyone. The church needs men who don't take advantage of women, who don't use women as means to the end. That's what the church needs. Y'all, women are the weaker sex. And for all you women in here that say that that's not true, that is very much true. And let me tell you why. It doesn't mean we're stupid. It doesn't mean we're ignorant or we're beneath a man, because you know what? We came out of the rib side by side, right? It doesn't mean any of that. Being the weaker sex means that God created us to be tender, to be vulnerable. You know, when you see a woman who's wilding out and she's trying to handle all the business and one of those real aggressive A-type women, that's because she's going against how God made her. I got to be careful with that, y'all. You know, when you've been hurt in your life, you can tend to be something you're not supposed to be. Let me get back to my message. Y'all don't look like y'all want to breathe in here. Anyway, God created women. He created men. But he created women so that men would have something, someone to love, to cherish, to protect. You see, men were created. You men were created to be protectors and providers. Yeah, that's worthy of a clap, because that's why you were created. If you ever wondered, there it is. There it is. You have a God-given assignment, and he gave you the authority to provide security and protection for women. Use that well. Use that honorably. Women were created to receive. Make sure, men, that what you're giving is what Jesus would give. This woman and some guy, don't nobody know who he was, but her and him were caught in adultery, but only she was dragged out and put on display to shame her. And the Pharisees, the church leaders, they were so brazen. Y'all got to get this. They were so bold that they tried to tell Jesus what the law said to do about such things. And this was after, way after Jesus had already told them a long time ago, hey, I am the law. So they knew. The fact is, they were trying to trap Jesus into contradicting himself. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. At that, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. You got to get the picture, y'all. You just got to get the picture. These smug, self-righteous religious leaders, thinking they knew how things were supposed to go, were accusing this woman. And yeah, she did it. She did it. And Jesus knew she did it. But he wasn't about to let some holier-than-thou church folk tell him how to handle the situation. So he didn't even respond to them. Instead of responding to them, all Jesus does is stoop down in the ground and start writing. Then he gets up and he tells them, "All right, whichever one of y'all is without sin, go ahead, throw the first stone." Dead silence like right now. Jesus stooped back down. He stooped right back down and started writing again. Now, we don't know what he wrote, but I can tell you one thing. It was powerful enough that it got their attention. They started dropping their rocks and walking off. Now notice, They did that after Jesus said, whoever is without sin, go ahead, throw the rock. You know, I wonder if in that moment they started thinking and realized, oh, wait a minute. He really is the Son of God. He knows what I did. He knows what I've been doing. Because God knows everything, right? And I want you to notice, it was the older men who started dropping their rocks first. That's very interesting, y'all. What if Jesus was writing down the sins of this woman's accusers, putting in names, dates, times? Because you know Jesus had receipts on all of them. He has the receipts. And maybe the older ones left first because they'd been on this planet long enough and they knew their closet was full of skeletons. I'm telling you, Jesus was scandalous. He didn't play with religious people. There's one thing that Jesus does not put up with, y'all, and that's the condemnation of Satan. These men tried to shame this poor woman by putting her on public display. Can you imagine? If they were caught in the act, can you imagine? Just drug her out. And Jesus said, not today, Satan. You're not going to do it today. Not today. And then Jesus addressed the woman and he addressed her with love and mercy. Look at what verse 10 says. It says, Jesus straightened up and he asked her, can you imagine the Son of God looking you in your eyes and asking you, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, declared Jesus. He declared it. He made a declaration. I am not condemning you. Go now and leave your life of sin. These people wanted to trap Jesus, and they tried to use this woman to do it. She meant nothing to them. They didn't care that they had publicly humiliated her, that they were abusive to her. They were just using her as a means to their end. But Jesus cared. They might not have cared, but Jesus cared. It moved him to compassion, and he spoke to her straight from his heart. See, the religious leaders, they knew the rules. Yeah, they knew the law. They knew it really well. And they were right about what the law said to do with such a situation. But what they missed was the heart of God. They got the most important part wrong. Let me just tell you this. Jesus will always stand between us and our accusers. Every single time. I'm going to say it again. Jesus will always stand between you and your accusers. You know, people are good at throwing stones. You know that saying, don't throw rocks if you live in a glass house? This is where it came from. People are real good at throwing stones. And some people are super quick to tell you where you're getting it wrong. And some of them take great pride in doing that. They want to set you straight. How many times have people tried to set me straight? Good luck with that. But what's really scary, this is the scary part, y'all. Some of them actually believe that their intentions are good. But unless you've walked through what somebody else has walked through, be very careful. Be very careful about telling them what they should or should not be doing. Jesus knows the true intentions of the heart. And this goes for the accuser and the accused. We can't be going around accusing people, y'all. We can't accuse people of things when we don't have all the information. Because truth be told, only Jesus has all the facts. And even then, watch this, even then, he isn't accusing anyone of anything. That's Satan. That's what Satan does. He's the accuser, not Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus excuses sin. That's not what I'm saying, so don't hear that. That's not what he did in this story. But what I am saying is that Jesus never reduces us to our worst moments. People do that. God doesn't do that. Look at Psalm 103. This is the character of God. This is the character of Jesus. And this is what it says. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him, is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Yeah, that's worthy of a hand clap. That's how good God is. That is his character. And you know that part that says that he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west? If you look on a globe, east and west never meet. They never meet. You start going east and you still going east. It's just the way it is. They never meet. That's how far Jesus removes our sins from us. This is what Jesus does when we repent. You got to get that part. When we repent, then Jesus removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he does it because of grace. Remember, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace does not excuse sin. It empowers change. And we don't deserve a second chance, y'all. Not when we sin against God. We deserve punishment. But God's not punishing us now. You know, I'm going to stay here a little bit. A lot of church people tell you, you're being punished by God. And you'll even hear people say when something's going wrong, oh, God must be punishing me. That is wrong, wrong, bad theology. Bad theology. We are not in the dispensation of judgment. We are in the dispensation of grace. Dispensing. God is dispensing grace through Jesus Christ. That's where we are right now. God is offering grace because that is what we need to change, to turn away from our sin and follow Jesus so that we can live in a right relationship with God, a loving, good father. Look, Jesus knows what we do. He's God. And he knew that this woman had done what they said she did. But he told her, I'm not accusing you. I'm giving you another chance to turn away from your sin and go live a life that honors God. Jesus was giving her a second chance. This is the opposite of what the devil does. Let me just tell you what Satan does. First, he lies to you. He tries to get you to sin. He said, oh, it's going to be okay. It's no big deal. Then he accuses you once you do. Revelation 12:10 says that he stands there day and night, night and day, accusing us when we sin. And some of y'all have experienced that. You know what it feels like to be constantly tormented in your mind by your sins. King David said, my sin is ever before me. That's the accuser. And even when you ask God to forgive you, you still sometimes maybe feel guilty. And shame keeps coming back up. That's the accuser. But it also could be that you haven't forgiven yourself. Mark 11:25 says that if we hold anything against anyone, we have to forgive them so that our Father in heaven will forgive us. We have to learn to forgive ourselves so that we can receive forgiveness. And Jesus can start the healing and restoration process, y'all. Jesus isn't condemning you, so don't condemn yourself. Beating yourself up over something you did, that's what Satan wants you to do. Remember, he's the accuser. So that's his voice you hear. That's his voice telling you, you went too far, man. You messed up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's not the voice of the Lord. That's not. When you sin, reach out to Jesus and he will forgive you. And then you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Don't keep on sinning. See, that's the key. Jesus told this woman that he was not condemning her, but she needed to course correct. We can't be of the mindset that Jesus' grace covers sin, so it's okay to just keep doing whatever we want to do. In fact, the point of grace is to give us a chance to restore our relationship with God. And sin comes between that relationship. 1 John 3:6 says that people who stay connected in their hearts with Jesus won't keep on sinning. And if they do keep on sinning, they do not know Jesus. And they have never seen him. You know, when I was preparing for this message and I read that scripture, I was like, ooh, that's harsh. Let me see if I can find a better scripture that says a little nicer, a little sweeter. So, you know, nobody will choke out. I couldn't find a better way of saying that, y'all. Because you know what? We need to know that Jesus isn't playing about living a life of sin. He's not playing. We can never think that we can just ask God to forgive us and then keep on doing whatever we want to do. That's not how sin and forgiveness works. That's just not the way it works. Grace is God's way of giving you a chance to turn away from your sin and go in another direction. And it is possible because you know what? Grace makes it possible. Romans 6:4 says, "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." The grace of God gives us the ability to be free from the law of sin and death. See, the law says that the penalty for sin is death. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the penalty for us once and for all. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Nobody else could do that. Grace says that Jesus paid the penalty. All we have to do is repent, turn from our sin, and go in another direction, and then receive forgiveness by accepting what Jesus did on that cross for us. And then grace, the other thing about grace is it empowers us to change. It empowers us to leave our old sinful ways. See, as you follow Jesus, you start to change. You start to change. The desires of your heart start to change. They start to line up with God's heart. And everybody in here knows, and I'm just going to say, we're all sinners saved by grace. All right. That's a fact. The Bible says all of us fall short. So you know when what you're doing is a sin because you get that little gut check. Even if you've never given your life to Jesus, that's still the Holy Spirit trying to draw you in. That's how it works. So we know. That's why we have to be vigilant and follow what Jesus says. Listen to that gut check. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because see, as you do that, you will start to change. You don't go to the same places you used to go. So naturally, you're not going to get caught up in all that foolishness you used to get caught up in. And it's not just your actions that change. The more you surrender your life to Jesus, your heart begins to change. This is grace working in your life. Grace is the unearned favor of God, and his favor helps you change. Sin is from Satan, so it's always going to bring condemnation, y'all. But grace is from God, and in Jesus, there is no condemnation. Let me just tell you this. The safest place to face your sins is at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Shame tells you to hide when you sin. Jesus says, "Come to me and let me restore you." Yes. One thing that you need to know about sin is that it will always, always, always encourage you to cover it up. Pretend it didn't happen. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the first thing they did was hide. First, they went and hid their bodies by making clothes to cover up their nakedness, right? Then when God was calling them, they hid from God. The voice of the Lord was speaking to them and they ran and hid. That's what sin did. Sin teaches us to hide. It whispers, cover it up. Don't let anybody know. If they find out about you, the real you, what you did, they're not going to want to be around you anymore. You can't let it be exposed. And then it doubles down and says, if God saw you, he would totally reject you. So instead of falling on our faces before Jesus and confessing our sins, what do? We bury it. We act like, oh, it's no big deal. It's okay. Or we hide in excuses. Well, I was really angry, or what they said wasn't right. And see, what happened was, or busyness. We start getting busy. Or religious performance. We start doing, 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 thinking we can somehow earn grace from God. Or we just go silent, radio silence. We pretend everything's okay. Yet our hearts feel more and more distant from God and from the people he has placed in our lives. And this is why the best place to go when you sin is straight to the feet of Jesus. Stephen, if you'll come. You know, some of y'all may be familiar with the great evangelist Billy Graham. And I know that's he's been dead for a while, so this is old school. But he was a great evangelist. He led thousands and thousands to the feet of Jesus, right? And every time he preached, during the altar call, there was one song that was always playing. One song. And I'll never forget that song because you know what? That song was playing when I gave my life to Jesus as a little girl. And the song is called Just As I Am. And it was actually a poem, and it was written by a woman. She had this chronic illness, and it left her paralyzed. And in her condition, she felt like she didn't have anything to offer God. And she was depressed. She was very discouraged and depressed. And one day, her pastor encouraged her, and he told her, just come to Jesus just as you are. And that inspired her to write these powerful words. And I want you to listen to these words. It says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse me. O Lamb of God, I come. That is the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin is the blood of Jesus. And then it says, I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty, guilty to be pardoned by the blood of the Lamb, Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. See, sin tells us to hide, to get it together first because we're dirty. We're not good enough. We're unholy. We're guilty. That's what sin says. But Jesus says, come to me just as you are and let my blood cleanse you. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that can wash away our sins, y'all. Jesus says, step into the light. Come out of the shadows. Come into the light so that I can heal you. All throughout Scripture, there are people who sinned and tried to cover it up. And as long as they were running and hiding, they didn't have any peace. They had no peace. David, King David, tried to cover up his sin with Bathsheba, and it just made things worse. He was miserable until he finally confessed and received God's forgiveness. The woman at the well, she tried to avoid people so no one would accuse her of what she was actually doing. But when she encountered Jesus, she listened to his words and she believed. And that's when she found peace. She found forgiveness and her healing began. The best place to face our sin is at the feet of Jesus. Because when we're willing to come out of the shadows and fall at his feet, there we will find peace. We will find forgiveness, healing, and restoration. Whatever you need, right now, whatever you need, Jesus is calling you. He isn't trying to expose you or humiliate you. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive, to restore. Just remember, just as you are, that's how Jesus accepts you. But he loves you too much to let you stay there. He wants to restore. Some of y'all, your innocence was stolen. Jesus wants to restore that. You were just a kid. You didn't deserve what happened. Jesus wants to restore those childhood years you lost. He wants to restore the time you lost. Your physical health, your peace, your mind. Even relationships that you thought were gone forever, God can restore that too, y'all. It might not look like what you thought it would look like, but I promise you, when God restores, it's way better. So if you're broken, come to Jesus and be mended. If you're wounded, bring your pain, your aching heart, your physical pain, bring it to Jesus and let him heal you. If you're desperate and you can't find a way out of whatever you're stuck in, call out to Jesus and let him rescue you. And if you're empty, if there's something missing and you just feel like there's a void, friend, that's a God-sized hole, and Jesus wants to fill it with his love and mercy. And if you're guilty, come to Jesus and be pardoned. Everything that sin has done to your life, every single thing, none of that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And he will welcome you. Jesus will welcome you with open arms. Just come as you are, because one encounter with Jesus will take you from condemned to forgiven. Just come. Will you bow your heads? Lord, I pray right now. I know that broken hearts are in this room, Father God. So I pray you bring healing. Draw those whose hearts are broken. Maybe there's disappointment, discouragement. Father, there's fear, anxiety. Draw them into you, into your presence with bands and cords of love and mercy. Heavenly Father, I pray that for broken relationships, Lord, you bring restoration and forgiveness and healing. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that the blood of Jesus is so powerful. It washes away pain. It washes away sin. It washes away everything that is not from you, God. I just pray, Lord, you draw people into you right now. Let them receive your mercy and grace. Let them just fall at your feet, Father, and receive forgiveness so they can be born again and live another life, a life with you, Lord, and they don't have to keep looking back on the past. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for just the love that you have for us, Lord. You accept us as we are. We don't have to get cleaned up to come to you, God. Thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I thank you for your word that just teaches us truth. God, I pray that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and your truth today. If there's somebody here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, right now is a great time to do that. You don't have to get all cleaned up. You don't even have to think twice. Just let it all go. Leave it at the feet of Jesus and ask him to forgive you. Repent. It starts with repentance. That means you make a decision in your heart that you're not going to live that way anymore. You're going to leave it at the feet of Jesus, and you're going to walk away new into a new, right, restored relationship with God. If that's what you want and you're here today, all you got to do is leave it at the feet of Jesus. There's a little prayer, and if you pray it after me, it's not about the prayer. It's about a posture of your heart, a posture of repentance and acceptance of who Jesus is. So if you are ready to do that, you just pray this little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name.